Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namane Namaste Sarasate Devi Gauravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadi Satarini Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. An auspicious occasion, after a whole series of so many auspicious occasions, after auspicious occasion, after auspicious occasion. Krishna consciousness is practically a continuous festival. And this is another festival celebrating an auspicious occasion of Brahminical initiation. Brahminical initiation marks, its significance is after some period of time following Harinam Diksha, a devotee who... Kirtan is still going. A devotee is further purifying themselves and further qualifying themselves to... primarily do two things: to worship the deity, installed deity forms of the Lord, and other type of brahminical, related brahminical functions, and also speaking the message on behalf of the Supreme Lord, speaking the message of the scripture in a qualified way. Before initiation, after first initiation, certainly one can speak the message of the scripture. But a brahmana is expected to be conversant. Vipra is a term that's used in the first canto of Bhagavatam, qualified in the scripture. Our Srimad Bhagavatam teaches that there's stages of spiritual progress, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, or kanishta, madhyama, and uttama, and in part they can be marked by one's corresponding faith, and with the faith, the capacity to take different circumstances of life and see those circumstances of life through the light of scripture. It's described in the beginning stage, one's faith is soft and pliable. If that is, if one hears a contradictory point of view, then their faith may be shaken or moved. And in the intermediate or madhyama stage, when faith is firm, one in that condition may not be able to refute opposing arguments on the authority of scripture, but their faith is firm nonetheless. I have faith in the process of sadhana bhakti and the process of hearing from the scripture, and in due course of time, I'm sure that I will have a clear understanding of the scriptural statement that addresses a particular question that's raised, but my faith is firm. And in the uttama stage, one has very clear understanding of all circumstances of life on the authority of scripture. So a brahmana is supposed to be qualified to speak with conviction on the statements of the scripture. There's a nice verse that Prabhupada quotes on a number of occasions where that qualification doesn't begin from birth, but it begins from training. Janmana jayate shudra, the verse begins. Janmana jayate shudra. In this age of Kali, specific to this age of Kali, persons are born unqualified, specifically shudra. And the understanding is that by the observances of sangskaras, that the procedures for purification enjoined within the Vedas, by those observances of sangskaras, one becomes qualified. And the first of those sangskaras, even before conception, is Garbhadhan sangskara, and in this age of Kali, hardly is that Garbhadhan sangskara properly observed. And if it's not properly observed, then there's no question of being qualified, no question of being a brahmana. So, janmana jayate shudra, in this age of Kali, everyone is more or less, practically speaking, born shudra. Janmana jayate shudra. Then, if that's the case, how does one become qualified? Sangskarad bhaved dvija. That's what we're doing here. This is Harinamatiti. This is Gayatri Diksha, where there's a sangskara, a ceremony, where the individuals are participating in a process, a procedure, where they're becoming qualified. They have qualified themselves, and then by prior practice, and then initiation into the Gayatri Mantra. So, Veda Patan Bhaved Vipro, by Veda Patan Bhaved Vipro, by study of the Vedas, one becomes a learned scholar, and similarly, Brahmajanatiti Brahmana. When one becomes realized in the conclusion of the scriptures, when one comes to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is the real qualification of a brahmana. A brahmana means one who knows Brahman, but a perfected stage of knowing Brahman is to know Parabrahman, or Bhagavan, the Personality of Godhead. That is to say, a truly qualified brahmana is a Vaishnava. They know that the Personality of Godhead is the source of everything, just as Krishna declares in Bhagavad Gita. Brahmanohi pratishta aham. I'm the basis and support of Brahman. And one who knows that factually, one is to know it from scripture, and another is to have realization. That is the qualification of a brahmana, and that's the initiation into the brahminical status is what we're doing. There's another very nice verse that Rupa Goswami quotes in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's one of these yata tata verses. Yata, it's a metaphor. As this, so that. Yata tata. So something that's known can then help us understand something that's less known. But even the something that's known is a little mystical. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidhanataha, which means yata as yata kanchanatam yati as gold is produced by a proper procedure, a procedure of alchemy, one can produce gold. And one can produce gold rasa vidhanataha, by combining mercury, rasa. Rasa means number of things. We know what the science of rasa is. Rasa tattva, the science of loving relationships. But another meaning of rasa, and that's appropriate in this case, is quicksilver. Quicksilver is mercury. And mercury has a number of properties. One of them is it's poisonous, but another is it's very fluid. Like you put in a thermometer and according to the temperature it rises. It's sensitive to the temperature and it expands or contracts. Quicksilver. But another property that quicksilver has or mercury has is by process of alchemy, one can combine mercury with base metal, kanchanatam, and get gold. Yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidanataha. Just like vidhi. You know what vidhi means? Vidhi. Vidhi sadhana bhakti. You heard that term, right? You heard what sadhana bhakti means, right? Practicing devotional service. And there's vidhis, or rules and regulations of sadhana bhakti. Vidhi, sadhana bhakti, the rules and regulations of devotional practice. So, vidhanataha means by that proper process. One can take mercury and base metal and transform it into gold. It's an alchemy process. So, yata kanchanatam yati kamsyam rasa vidhanataha tata diksha vidhanena, by the vidhis of diksha, what we're doing now, tata diksha vidhanena dvijitvam jayate nrinam. Nrinam is a person. An ordinary person can become dvija, twice born. Ja and dvija, born and twice born. One becomes a qualified brahmana by the proper procedure, which is what we're doing right now. The proper procedure is a procedure that comes from the scripture, the Pancharatrika scripture. And just a little history. There's a group of scholars of the Vedas called Smartas, and they accept the Vedic processes, but they don't honor the Pancharatrika system that's also Vedic. But they don't honor it. So their point of view is, okay, in the Pancharatriki system, which is what we're following, one may become elevated by processes like chanting the holy name, because surely the scripture is filled with indication that chanting of the holy name is all pure, purna shuddho, nitya mukto. It's completely pure, and it purifies one who comes in contact with chanting, so it's very good. Chant the holy name. But this process of becoming a brahmana, their point of view is, you cannot perform Vedic rituals. You're not qualified unless you take birth in a brahmin family from your chanting of the holy name, which is not in scripture, but that's their point of view. And in other words, they want to keep a hold on their position of having exclusive rights to perform Vedic rituals. So they have an issue, and not up to the point where, like in Jagannath Puri, if they think that you're not born in India, in fact they thought Neha Katara was not born in India because her complexion is too fair, so I heard the whole story. Even Her mom spoke in Hindi and this language and that language, and they wouldn't accept. No, you can't come in. If she's your daughter, you can't come in either. Right? Etc. Wasn't the only place. Because you're not qualified, because you don't have the right skin. Keep chanting Hare Krishna, you can then die and then be born with the right kind of skin. And then you can come into the temple. So that's one idea. And there was some persons who are born with the right skin, they're very invested in that idea. And during the time of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there was another group that wasn't exactly Gaudiya Vaishnavism, but they had another idea. And it was related to this, the means of purification that comes from the processes that we follow, the Panchatantrika system. So there was a big hubbub. This group, that group, and then this group got stronger, and then that group got stronger. It became, you know, intellectuals can become violent sometimes. They lose their mode of goodness and they become more passionate. So there was the decision made, we need a referee here before somebody is hurt. So they went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. They said, you're an intellectual, you understand this side and you understand that side because you're a very qualified, learned Brahmin. Can you help us resolve this dispute? But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very ill, like very ill. He was bedridden. And so he couldn't participate in this big conference they were planning to have. And his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, understood what was going on. He heard his father literally lamenting, is there not one person in this whole land of India that can resolve amicably a very clear situation? And Bhakti Siddhanta, who was then just a brahmachari, he wasn't an elder, grihastha, scholarly, professor, puffy-wuffy type. He was just a young naishtika brahmachari, Vaikuntha man. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave him that assignment. He prepared a paper, which is now a book, and the first half of the paper was the qualifications and the glories of a brahmana. And at the end of the day, the brahmanas were going, yay, this man is brilliant. He understands what brahmanism is. But they didn't know what was coming the next day. And the real brahmana is one who knows the personality of Godhead. So the Vaishnava is the culmination and perfection of brahmanism. Ooh. But it was so compelling, and they understood how well learned he was in the scripture, quoting and quoting and arguments and reason and very strong presentation. At the end of the day, both sides gave him a standing ovation. It worked. They all agreed. He was right. In fact, the standing ovation went on for 15 minutes. Everyone was so moved. In fact, they all wanted to then touch his feet, and he didn't allow anyone to touch his feet. So it started to become another problem. You know how it is in India. It's not this problem, it's that problem. So the police came and they got a bucket of water and stuck his feet or his foot in a bucket of water so they could sprinkle the crowd with the water from washing his feet so he can leave without a big turmoil happening. Just from this point of, we just discussed, without all the length of scriptural quotes, Brahmana Titi, Brahmana. A Brahmana is one who knows what is Brahman and what knows the personality of Godhead. That the personality of Godhead is the source of everything. And by this process, one becomes such a qualified person. There's another verse that describes in this process of receiving Gayatri Mantra, two things happen. One is sins are eradicated, and another is transcendental knowledge is received or imparted and received. And that's the fruit of this process. It's submission and the very means of purification itself, which is like alchemy, a little mystical. But there's a science to this mystical. There's a science, and those that know the science can perform it. Prabhupada once described what that science is, of how you take mercury, combine it with bell metal, and make gold. Start a little business. Lots of bell metal, lots of base metal. And how do you take mercury? That's not to take a bunch of thermometers and get a bunch of mercury. Some base metal and mix them together, but it's not that simple. Here's what Prabhupada said. The yogis that know the art, before they take rest at night, they drink mercury. If you don't know what you're doing, you're finished. Hey, I'm going to try it out. Because mercury is poisonous. But they, in the morning when they wake and they pass water, the water is passed on the base metal and the base metal turns to gold. So that's their gold factory. But it's a process of alchemy. It's like the other mystic arts where one can become light, or one can become heavy, or one can become very big, or one can become very small, or one can take something from a distant place, and one can create something up to, one can create a planet by mystic power. Like the Yakshas created this whole mystical apparition to bewilder Dhruva Maharaj, or Kardama Muni created a flying city so that Devahuti and he would be able to associate together and produce the praja that Lord Brahma requested of them. So by mystic powers one can do things that can be done by material law, but it's done by subtle law. It's just manipulation of subtle law of material energy. That's what the alchemy process is, and that's what mystic yoga is. And this is not as by manipulation of material law. The process of Pancharatrika is by submission to the personality of Godhead and the scriptural indication that he gives. One can worship the deity form of the Lord, or one can, using musical instruments, call upon the glories of the Lord, or one can take pieces of wood and camphor and incense, and by Vedic mantra, the essence of it is the Vedic mantras that are chanted. Then, and that submission to the personality of Godhead in that process, then one becomes a qualified Brahmana. So at the end of that big hubbub that was taking place, it then became accepted. And to this day, that lecture is available in paper, is now in a little book, where one can read the arguments and then reach the conclusion that yes, by this Vedic process, the nirnam becomes dvijatvam. The ordinary person becomes the qualified brahmana, fit for worshipping the deity and performing Vedic ritual and speaking properly on behalf of the scripture. There's something that we have to do on our side, but it's that there's effort that's required, just like our discussion this morning. But there's also something that's required in the form of mercy. And the combination of those two, following the scriptural indication, by acceptance of disciplic succession, that means the acceptance of Krishna through disciplic succession, and the qualified procedures with our nice Brahmin here, Dhananjaya Pandit. You're a qualified Brahmin. And that nice book there that tells you how to do it. We're honoring or observing the Brahminical initiation of these two nice devotees, Sumunajiva and Sri Radhika. So, not just tomorrow morning we'll have two more pujaris for the rotation of the deity worship. But in addition to that, they'll have made a significant step in the direction of their spiritual purification and their progressive path going to Krishna. And this is a very wonderful occasion. So what we're going to do, because the deity schedule is normally the curtain is closed at 8 o'clock, so we're going to fast forward a little bit. We'll chant Brahma Samhita together, and then when we're done, you'll be all ready to begin the yajna.